The other day, on Boxing Day, Paul, Becca and I got in the car to travel to Somerset to see our in-laws. It's what you do at Christmas. It's a long way. It was boring. Becca had had the foresight to download films onto her phone. I was not as prepared. I'd done Christmas. That I'd got into the car in one piece was a major work of God. I'm very easily bored, it seems. And it wasn't too long into the journey when somebody in the car, not Paul or Becca, said these words. Are we nearly there yet? Bored and uncomfortable, not knowing how long I should be waiting for, I was bored. Paul wasn't. He knew exactly how long the journey would last. He had the sat nav, but I had nothing. So I was bored and waiting. There are times like that in life, when life and time stand still, when things are put on hold, when we're in the waiting room. We don't know how long we have to wait. Are we nearly there yet? And perhaps that's how Simeon and Anna felt. Are we nearly there yet? Have we finally arrived? They'd both been waiting, faithfully waiting, living under Roman occupation for over 60 years, waiting for the day a Messiah would come, waiting with hope for the consolation of Israel, waiting, waiting, waiting. It's hard to wait because we live in a fast-paced society, in an I want it now world. We've got instant gratification. If I want to listen to the new Take That track out this week, I don't have to go along to HMV, rest in peace. I can instantly download it onto my computer or my phone. If I want to watch a film, I don't have to go to Woolworths. I miss Woolworths. I don't have to wait. I can download it instantly. And if I want food, I can ring up people and they will bring it to you. Any food you want. How exciting. We buy things on next day delivery on Amazon Prime. We don't have to wait any longer. But even with a fast-paced world, waiting is still part of life. Can you click on for me? Because this has stopped working again. Can you click on for me, Maxine, please? Thank you. This has stopped working. Thank you. Waiting is still part of life. In traffic, in queues, for somebody to find their shoes and get ready for school. I'm just saying that. That's what we do in our house. Waiting in doctor's rooms or in hospital rooms. We all, in this fast-paced world, are still people who have to wait. And some waiting is frustrating. There we go. Some waiting is hard. But Simeon and Anna were used to that. They were used to the waiting for years and years. We're giving an age in Scripture of 84 for Anna, which in the day of Jesus was positively ancient. In some church traditions, Simeon is given the age of 200. If you were Eastern Orthodox, that is what you are told. We're told by the Eastern Orthodox tradition that it was Simeon who worked with the people who wrote Isaiah years before. I don't know how that works, but that's what some people believe. but very old. So waiting had become second nature. The Bible reminds us again and again that we need to learn to wait because God will act. Yay. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, but wait for the Lord, the psalmist says. Yes, Lord, walking in your ways of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the desire of our hearts, says Isaiah. But as for me, says Micah, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for my God, my Savior, my God will hear me. So I wonder today what we can learn about the spiritual discipline of waiting from Simeon and Anna. I have 3 points this morning, like a good preacher always has. And the first one is this. It sounds like it's rocket science. It's not. Waiting takes time. Really, Louise, that is a profound spiritual insight this morning. Waiting takes time. It's obvious, isn't it? Mary waited. She waited 9 months from when the angel told her that she was going to bear a son. I've only been pregnant once. I think pregnant time is different from normal time. Those of you who've been pregnant, you're all going, yes. It's a different space-time continuum. It gets slower and faster, and the more pregnant you are, the slower it gets, it seems. Mary waited. She waited, as the law required her to do, 40 days after giving birth to a son to come to the temple because she was ritually unclean. You'd have to wait 80 days if you've had a girl. 40 days for a boy, 80 for a girl, because as we all know, girls are twice as unclean as boys. She waited and she walked the 6 miles from Bethlehem to Jerusalem with her new baby boy to present her first son as the law required and to offer what she could. We're told a pair of doves or 2 young pigeons because she was poor. And she waited. At the end of this passage, we're told that they go back home, having been told all these amazing things that the baby would be and would cause to happen, shepherds, things that they told them, the things that the angels said, things that the wise men said, and now Simeon and Anna telling them that this child would be the rise and fall of a people, a light to the nations, a revelation, and a sword that would cause sadness too. But then Luke tells us that after they'd done everything that they come to do, Mary and Joseph go home. They go back to the normal. We're not told what happens. We're just told that Jesus grows and becomes strong, filled with wisdom and the favor of God. It sounds like after all the flurry of attention at the birth, they just go back to ordinary life. It would be years before they experience anything extraordinary again. They must have been wondering, had they been dreaming all these things that people had said? Had they really seen angels? Had Simeon and Anna really picked them out of the crowd? In the uneventful years that followed, they must have wondered what the story of their child's birth had meant. It would be years, years, until they knew the answer. We know the rest of the story. We know that God was at work whilst Mary and Joseph waited. Waiting takes time. And everybody in this story had to do their fair share. Waiting takes trust. Simeon and Anna weren't just twiddling their thumbs in the temple waiting for the promised Messiah. They weren't just doing whatever the ancient equivalent of Sudoku was, or watching, what is it 84-year-olds do during the day? Watch Bargain Hunt, I don't know. Whatever. They weren't just twiddling their thumbs, whiling away the hours. They were actively waiting, we're told. We're told they were devoutly waiting. Anna was fasting and praying. She was worshipping day and night, we're told. This is not a woman who is twiddling her thumbs. Simeon was doing the same. Simeon, if he was really 200 years, as some suggest he was really ready to die. I could imagine Simeon as a bit of a coiled spring, waiting, not under a blanket and a Zimmer frame, but with eyes peeled and ready, looking at the babies as they arrived with their anxious parents. Why? Because the Lord had told him to wait. Remember this, we heard this earlier. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. He's waiting because the Holy Spirit had told him to. That God said, you're not going to die until you see the one we're waiting for. His ancient glaucoma-filled eyes would see the one who was the cause of all this waiting, the one who the nation had pinned their hopes on. And all he had to do was wait. That's what he was doing, hanging on in there, because he trusted God's promises. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, Simeon says, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. God trusted in what God had said would happen. And he waited for God to do what God said he would do. Are we the same? When God says it's not time yet, or he doesn't tell you why, or what's next? Do we have the faithfulness of Simeon and Anna in the goodness and the faithfulness of God and the integrity of God so we can hang on with hope and with expectation? Simeon and Anna had trust in the character of God so they could hold on. They had confidence in God's wisdom, in his timing, in his understanding of the situation and the world. They trusted. Are we a people who trust when we can't see, when we don't know what's next, when we have to wait? Waiting takes trust. And waiting takes action. For both Simeon and Anna, this is an action passage. We're told, moved by the Spirit, Simeon goes into the temple courts. He sees his child. He takes the child in his arms and praises God. And the same for Anna, coming up to them at that very moment. She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. Finally, the Spirit guides them to the temple at the right moment. I can just imagine God whispering in Simeon's ear, he's here. The time has come. Him, over there, he's here. Go now. And the same with Anna. Anna, salvation has come. He's over there. Go and see. And the move by action by God prompting them because they were ready. They'd spent their lives being ready, listening and worshipping and expectant, knowing that God would do what he said he does, because he does. That when the time was right, when the world was right, when the climate was right, when no one was expecting it, God would do what God said he would. And maybe no one explained to Simeon and Anna that this salvation package would come baby-shaped. Maybe they were expecting a warrior king. Maybe this elderly couple were expecting something very different. But God is always full of surprises. He's always finding unlikely candidates to save people. You don't go against a giant called Goliath with a slingshot, but you do when God's in control. It might not have been what they were waiting for or expecting, but they were ready. They'd not given up hope and faith. And so when God said go, they did. So, are you faithful and obedient when you've not had an answer to what you've been praying about? Because dare I say, I don't think I am all the time. I'm horribly impatient. Anybody else? Yes, I'm looking at some of you and I know that some of you are horribly impatient alongside me. There's a faithfulness and an integrity to Anna and Simeon. They kept on praying for the consolation of Israel, even though they didn't have the answer to their prayers. They still kept on praying. There was a time when I used to pray every day for my mother's salvation, and at some point that stopped, praying earnestly every day, because I think I got fed up of praying. That's a bit bad, isn't it? Sometimes we lose hope in what we're praying for when we don't have the answer to that prayer. Sometimes we perhaps lose a little faith in God's goodness when our prayers don't seem to be answered, when things don't seem to be changing, when the mountain that we've prayed for to be moved is still resolutely there. When waiting is long and hard, let's remember Simeon and Anna and the spiritual discipline of waiting in trust and being ready to go when God says. Maybe that's something we all need to learn and remember in what God has planned for us in 2019. This is a waiting story. Mary and Joseph carried on waiting as this child grew up. And just as God was at work with that boy growing up, may I remind you that God is at work here in West Kirby, in Mells, in Pensby, wherever you live. God is at work in this nation. Nothing special seemed to be happening in Nazareth. It was just a boy growing up. But they did not know what was to come. But God was at work there. And God is at work here. So are you waiting? Let me remind you that waiting takes time. Don't rush what God is doing in you and around you. You might not be ready yet for what God wants to do. Hang on in there. He ain't finished. Remember, waiting takes trust. God will act He is faithful. He has not forgotten what he has promised. Waiting takes action. So wait with hope. Be ready. Be listening. Be obedient. I pray that we would be people who do that as we come into a new year, that we would keep our eyes focused on God, that we would be ready when we need to be, that we would take time waiting when we need to, and that in all of it, we will trust in God.